The Europe Report with Kanan Lipschitz.
Hello, Kanan.
Hi, Kathy.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
All right, thank you. Kanan, before we even get to your story, can I just ask you, have you personally ever been involved in an anti-Semitic attack or ever feared for your life?
Feared for my life? No.
Were you threatened?
Threatened? No. Well, yes, my first exchange really in my neighborhood in The Hague was with a phone shop operator, and I came to him and I wanted the SIM card, and he asked me all friendly where I am from, and naive as I was, just off the boat, I told him Israel, and he said, oh, okay, let me get a gun and shoot you dead. At which point I said, really, why? You're from Turkey, I'm from Israel, what's the problem? And then he said, just making a joke, just kidding. So obviously that was kind of we got off on the wrong foot, and it was an enlightening.
Because you're best friends now. You're best friends now. You're inseparable, right?
But Kathy, what are you doing to me? Last time you gave me explicit orders, no more anti-Semitism.
Okay, no.
We have to stick with it
today. It's a conversation. We have to have the conversation, but I can also say that I'm tired of, you know, what it does to us and how it makes us, it reduces us to victims. And I refuse to be a victim. That's all. All right. So let's talk about anti-Semitism.
You've written an article which has been published in both the JTA and the Times of Israel today. I think it was published yesterday. The title of the article is "A Famed Jewish Philosopher is Afraid to Leave His Home." And you're making reference to Alain Finkielkraut. Talk to us about that.
Well, Alain Finkielkraut, first of all, to understand what he's about, you have to understand a very French phenomenon, which is the celebrity philosopher. Just like elsewhere in Europe and the States and South Africa, celebrities tend to be soccer players and supermodels and film stars. In France, you have all that, but you also have the celebrity philosopher. And we're talking about a group of about 10 people. Bernard-Henri Lévy.
Yes.
Is right. A well-known example. Finkielkraut is another one. These are people who make cameos in mainstream films. They appear in primetime television. They're on the cover of the gossip of tabloids. Yet they're not subjected to the same paparazzi harassment that regular celebrities are. So there's a respect, there's a reverence, and this goes back to a tradition, because in the 1930s you had people like Jean-Paul Sartre and Picasso, you know, rubbing shoulders with regular coffee drinkers at Café de Flore in the Latin Quarter in Paris. So when in February a group of protesters accosted Finkielkraut on the streets in the most violent manner imaginable. And you really have to see the video of this. This is pure hatred, bile, screaming until you can hear the vocal cords stretching. When they accosted him that way, it was filmed and it was circulated on social media, and it really caused an uproar. And what they screamed at him was obscenities about his mother. Go back to Tel Aviv, you Zionist pig, you piece of shit, the most awful language imaginable, I guess, a person who's in the pantheon of great French thinkers. And he just stands there. He's a silver-haired gentleman, almost 70. He just stands there with an awkward smile on his face. He doesn't react. He just looks at this in amazement. And then police usher him away for his own safety, not in uniform, civilian clothes, police just take him away. Luckily, and one of the protesters points to his Palestinian shawl, kafia, and he says, "We are France. France belongs to us. You're going to die." This caused such a shock, because he's a celebrity philosopher, because he was treated this way only because he's Jewish, that even his most bitter enemies, people like Jean-Luc Mélenchon, the communist leader, said that what these people tried to do was rob Alain Finkielkraut of his humanity. Okay, so that was a traumatic episode. Each time that this happens, we hope for some sort of lesson learned. Well, come April, a group of protesters staged such violent rallies, demonstrations, that the university that invited Fingerkot to speak at needs to hide him away, to put him somewhere else and play a cat and mouse game with the protesters who accuse him of being a racist. At which point he goes to the Marianne magazine and he says, I can't show my face in public anymore. I can't take out my nose in public. That's the literally what he said in French. And that started a whole chain of anti-Semitic jokes about the Jews speaking about his nose. Ha ha ha. You know, and it just really exemplified the hopelessness, I think, of the fight against anti-Semitism in France.
Is the fact that he is such a high-profile personality not making any impact on the French street?
Well, this is the third time that's happened. The French street, no, the French elite embrace him. The French elite closes the gap to shield him. But this is the big tragedy of what's happening in France, at least. It's not the government being anti-Semitic. It's not the elite being anti-Semitic as it was in the 30s. On the contrary, it's the elite and the government trying to protect Jews from the masses, from the populace. And in many ways, that's much more worrisome.
Wow, that's a lot to digest there. What's also interesting to note is that Aliyah to Israel from France has decreased significantly over the last while.
Yeah, right. It is interesting. Glance, what is keeping Jews in France? What's your thoughts, Kanan?
The spin that the French government would like to put on this is, look, we've put 100 million euros into protecting Jewish communities and our educational projects. But I suspect that the sad reality is that the people who left, 25,000 people over the past 5 years, that's a huge amount of French Jewry, about 20%. The people who left, these are the people who go shopping for kosher products. These are people who wear kippahs on the street. And so there is a chance that Aliyah is decreasing because the heart of French Jewry had already been extracted. And that's a main concern of community leaders now, because they fear that the pillar holding together the entire concept of French Jewry is being withdrawn altogether. And there's a chance that those who are left are the less affiliated, the people less likely to put their children in Jewish schools.
Really, really fascinating. Yeah, got to tell you, it makes me very happy to be in South Africa. You know, I think to the fact that Ilan Halimi was killed in France, the fact that Sarah Halimi was killed in France. 70 years after the Holocaust, Jews are being killed for being Jews in France. It's a very, very bad situation.
Kanan Lipschitz, thank you very, very much. That is where we leave it this week. We look forward to speaking to you next week. And just thank you for reporting to the world about what is happening in Europe.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you for offering me this platform.